sadness. He who is free from sadness is happy. It is our own school which has framed this syllogism. They attempt to refute it by this answer, namely that we Stoics are assuming as admitted a premise which is false and distinctly controverted, that the brave man is fearless. What, they say, will the brave man have no fear of evils that threaten him? That would be the condition of a madman, a lunatic, rather than of a brave man. The brave man will, it is true, feel fear in only a very slight degree, but he is not absolutely free from fear. Now, those who assert this are doubling back to their old argument, in that they regard vices of less degree as equivalent to virtues. For indeed, the man who does feel fear, though he feels it rather seldom and to a slight degree, is not free from wickedness, but is merely troubled by it in a milder form. Not so, is the reply, for I hold that a man is mad if he does not fear evils which hang over his head. What you say is perfectly true, if the things which threaten are really evils. But if he knows that they are not evils, and believes that the only evil is baseness, he will be bound to face dangers without anxiety, and to despise things which other men cannot help fearing. Or, if it is the characteristic of a fool and a madman not to fear evils, then the wiser a man is, the more he will fear such things. It is the doctrine of you Stoics, then, they reply, that a brave man will expose himself to dangers. By no means. He will merely not fear them, though he will avoid them. It is proper for him to be careful, but not to be fearful. What then? Is he not to fear death, imprisonment, burning, and all the other missiles of fortune? Not at all, for he knows that they are not evils, but only seem to be. He reckons all these things as the bugbears of man's existence. Paint him a picture of slavery, lashes, chains, want, mutilation by disease or by torture, or anything else you may care to mention. He will count all such things as terrors caused by the derangement of the mind. These things are only to be feared by those who are fearful. Or do you regard as an evil that to which some day we may be compelled to resort of our own free will? What then, you ask, is an evil? It is the yielding to those things which are called evils. It is the surrendering of one's liberty into their control, when really we ought to suffer all things in order to preserve this liberty. Liberty is lost unless we despise those things which put the yoke upon our necks. If men knew what bravery was, they would have no doubts as to what a brave man's conduct should be. For bravery is not thoughtless rashness, or love of danger, or the courting of fear-inspiring objects. It is the knowledge which enables us to distinguish between that which is evil and that which is not. Bravery takes the greatest care of itself, and likewise endures with the greatest patience all things which have a false appearance of being evil. What then is the query? If the sword is brandished over your brave man's neck, if he is pierced in this place and in that continually, if he sees his entrails in his lap, if he is tortured again after being kept waiting in order that he may thus feel the torture more keenly, and if the blood flows afresh out of bowels where it has but lately ceased to flow, has he no fear? Shall you say that he has felt no pain either? Yes, he has felt pain, for no human virtue can rid itself of feelings. But he has no fear. Unconquered, he looks down from a lofty height upon his sufferings. Do you ask me what spirit animates him in these circumstances? It is the spirit of one who is comforting a sick friend. That which is evil does harm. That which does harm makes a man worse. But pain and poverty do not make a man worse. Therefore, they are not evils. Your proposition, says the objector, is wrong, for what harms one does not necessarily make one worse. The storm and the squall work harm to the pilot, but they do not make a worse pilot of him for all that. Certain of the Stoic school reply to this argument as follows. The pilot becomes a worse pilot because of storms or squalls, inasmuch as he cannot carry out his purpose and hold to his course. As far as his art is concerned, he becomes no worse a pilot, but in his work he does become something worse. To this, the Peripatetics retort. Therefore, poverty will make even the wise man worse, and so will pain, and so will anything else of that sort. For although those things will not rob him of his virtue, yet they will hinder the work of virtue. This would be a correct statement, were it not for the fact that the pilot and the wise man are two different kinds of person. The wise man's purpose in conducting his life is not to accomplish at all hazards what he tries, but to do all things rightly. The pilot's purpose, however, is to bring his ship into port at all hazards. The arts are handmaids. They must accomplish what they promise to do. But wisdom is mistress and ruler.